sins in Jesus' name. I count it a privilege to be able to be here and teach God's word to you again this morning. I've been blessed by your presence and encouraged with just the different conversations we've had over the last couple of days. And God bless you. This morning for a message, I would like to continue speaking about our homes and the relationships that we have in our homes, the relationships that we desire to have, and the relationships that I believe that God wants us to have. And the functions of the home, I'd like to look at that a little further this morning. And maybe we can just pause and have prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause here this morning. We are thankful this morning for the work that you have done in each one of our hearts and lives. We're thankful this morning for the work that you still want to do. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord, is because we have purpose to place ourselves before you. And we're asking you this morning to teach us, to prepare us for the things that you have for us in the future. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would also, that you would enable me to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts that can receive, and that we could apply those things to our lives. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord. And it was because of the relationship he had with God. And this morning, I just want to encourage us that as we listen to what God has for us, in spite of the things that are going around us, in spite of what other people are doing, that we would purpose to do what we believe that God would have us to do. And that we would claim that and be able to walk in that. When we think about relationships and stepping out and doing what we believe that God would have us to do, it's beautiful and it's easy to do when the people around us that are doing the same. But when we have to step out alone like we see Daniel doing and doing the right thing, we can feel very vulnerable. And it feels Satan gives us all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't do that. And so we have to stand humbly before God and just trust him. Trust him with our lives and just do what we believe that God would have us to do. And so, again, as we look at these things, I just want to remind us, just because we choose as individuals to do the right thing, the thing that God is teaching us to do, it doesn't mean always that the people around us will follow. Our heart's cry and our desire is, as we step out into relationships, that the people would stand up and join us. And it's beautiful and encouraging when we see that happening. And as I was pondering these things, I was just thinking about our church relationship in coming together in. And when we strive, when we humble ourselves before God and each other and are committed to each other and to the Lord, there's strength and there's courage and there's strength in that. But there again, as we step out as individuals in our church setting, God calls us to do our peace. And if we're if we're leading out, God calls us to lead out in a godly way. And if we're serving each other, which we're all called to do, we do that not because of the people around us, but because of what the Lord has called us to. And so I'd just like to encourage you in that. As we think of godly homes this morning and looking at the principles and why we do these things, just some situations that I've seen in life, and we're very aware of these things as we go to and fro, is that in the world, in many situations, too often, the father and mother are living together and they're just putting up with each other. It's not at all what it's intended to be. It's not uncommon for me at work to have an older man come to me and it's like, hey, I need a building and I'd like to have it insulated and I need heat in it. And the purpose of this building is sometimes I just need to get away from my wife. And just have my own time. And it's not in the purpose of spending time alone with God. But rather it's, I just can't take it anymore. And it's really sad when we just stop and think about that. What God intended for something to be beautiful and encouraging, and people are at the place that they need separation. A while back, I was part of a youth group ministry. I was sitting in on this in this ministry that some of our young people get involved in. And one of our young couples had just gotten married, and they were there, and he was giving a testimony there. And some of the young people there heard that. It's like, you got married? And it's like, oh, that's just awful. It's like, do you know what you signed up for? That life is going to be difficult and hard. And that's what these young people see. That's what they've experienced, that relationships and marriages are difficult and there's lots of fighting. And I heard one of them say, it's like, well, once in a while they have good times, but like that's not the norm. And so that's what the world expects to see. This morning, the question that I have for us as God's people, what does experience tell us? How are we seeing these things? In 1 Corinthians 7, the first number of verses there, we see that the heading in my Bible says that God has established marriage. And Paul has some things to say about marriage. And he says that being single is good, has benefits. And I think he was looking at it as it's an opportunity to serve the Lord. And for those of you that are single this morning, and maybe you're desiring to be married, but aren't, I would encourage you that you take this opportunity and that you serve the Lord with all of your heart. And do what you believe that God would have you to do. And you can take those desires to the Lord and give them to Him. And I believe that God has a plan for you. And He will work those things out in your life as you give those things to Him. In Genesis chapter 2, and I'd just like to just again look at these verses in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then in Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And going down to verse 23 and 24, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we see here God's plan for marriage and for what that was supposed to be. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Here we're reminded that this was the work of the Lord. This is God's plan. Is it no wonder that we have an enemy going to and fro, trying to destroy what God has designed, trying to bring separation? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, it's because of sin that we experience hardships in life. It's because of sin in my life that causes hardships. It's because of sin in the world. It's because of sin that we as families that we have to work through. So we're going to face hardships. Providing for our families means we have to deal with thorns and thistles, both in the physical and in spiritual. I'd like to look at just a couple of different things in our homes. And one is as husbands. And we turn to Ephesians. Husbands as leaders. God has a plan for how our home should function. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Going down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We quickly see in God's word what this relationship is to represent. It's supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, we are told to love our wives. Thinking about husbands, I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 10, and just read a couple of verses here. Mark chapter 10, going down to verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In this passage here, we see Jesus' heart in leadership. Not to lord over the people, but to minister, to encourage. I believe this morning, as husbands, as fathers, that is the heart that God has for you, for us. That's how he wants to lead out, us to lead out in our homes. We have a responsibility. As we do that, we're teaching our children what authority looks like. We're teaching our children about God, the heart of God. And if we get these things wrong and we choose to take the authority that Jesus talks about that the Gentiles exercise, and we choose to lead out in that way, and we can. But it's going to have consequences. There's going to be people that suffer under our leadership. Our children will grow up. With a wrong view of God, potentially. Number two, looking at wives, mothers, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21-24. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see the support that God has called you to be to the husbands, to the leaders. And it's a love, respect type of relationship that God is desiring for us to experience. Wives, you play a very important role in your husband's life. The way that you support your husband, the way that you encourage him, will very likely enable him to go places that he never dreamed of being able to go to. You're doing God's work by doing that. In Titus 2, talks about loving your husband, loving your children. Number three, children in the home. You have a responsibility. You turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teachings. So you as children, and especially as you get older and understand your responsibility, you have a responsibility in the home, and that is to look up to your parents. Number four, parents disciple and instruct your children. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 and 19, talks to us about we are responsible to show them how to live life. We are responsible to show them how to live life. And maybe we'll just turn to that and read that. Chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When is it our responsibility to be teaching our children? It is a journey. It's when we rise up out of bed in the morning, and it's throughout the day, and it's when we go to bed at night. We're investing into the kingdom of God as we teach our children. When we take time for our children, it means that we have a vision for God's work, for future. We're preparing our children to rise up and serve the Lord as we grow old. In Psalms 103, verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Question for us. How can we best prepare them for this? How can we prepare our children to be prepared to face life? And when we just come back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 there, it talks to us about not provoking our children. And I was recently reading a book that was talking about child training in a point that he made in this was that if we want to provoke our children, if we, as their little children, we just let them, they're used to doing their own thing, and it's easy for us to be lax when they're 1 and 2 years old, and it's sort of fun. It's just easy to let it go. And they're used to getting their way. They play when they want to play, and they sit at the table when they want to sit, and they're going about doing their thing. And he said, if we do that, and then as they start getting older, and we realize it's like, oh, things are out of hand. We need to start placing roles in and bringing them in. And it's a way to train, and we can always always when we see things where we've lacked, God is gracious and he helps us walk through that. But if we're not careful, we don't teach our children submission when they're young. And then when we see the need for it when they're older, we start trying to teach them about those things. And we find ourselves with angry children. When we teach our children from young, teach them obedience. Show them from a young age submission and respect for us. And as I believe it's our responsibility to do that. And we can have children that it's important for them. They want to please dad and mom. And it's beautiful to see that when we have children's hearts in a young age and as they grow older, that will continue, I believe. Yes, we have Satan going to and fro, and he's eager to snatch the hearts of our children, and that does happen. But the point that I want to make was teaching our children from a young age and teaching them what submission looks like. Doing something that they don't want to do and doing it because I believe it's important. And them being okay with that. We are actually preparing our children for kingdom work. We're preparing their hearts for when the day comes that they find themselves with God knocking on their heart. We've already taught them about submission, about trusting their parents. And now they've grown up and they're in an age of accountability and God is getting their attention. They already understand what surrender and what submission looks like. They've done it many times to their father and to their mother. And they already know that their dad and their mom loves them. We watch our children go through that battle with God. Children that understand that, I believe it's much easier for them to come to the Lord and realize that surrender and submission is beautiful. And they can trust God because they've already seen the authority in their life that has shown them that the dad and mom that were in my life, that they could be trusted. When we choose not to do it this way, and I've seen families doing these things, and it often doesn't play out well. When we don't teach them when they're young, and we let our children go till they're 8, 10 years old, and then we start seeing the need for rules, and we start applying rules in their lives, and by the time they're in their teenage years, they have way more rules in their lives than they did when they were 3, 4, and 5. And then we wonder as parents, why are my children struggling to submit to me? And it's because we're asking them to do something that they weren't used to doing. And so I would encourage us as fathers and mothers to have a vision for our young children. Teach them these things in a young age. And I see you doing that. And so I just want to encourage you not to grow lax, because the consequences of not doing that is you're only hurting your children. Your children are going to struggle so much more. They're not able to deal with life. Recently, I was out in the yard when there was a bunch of children playing, not here. And there was this, I don't know how old this young man was, maybe 12 years old. And the game wasn't going the way that he thought it should go. And he's used to getting the way things go, the way he wants it to go. But today it wasn't going that way. And I saw this young man laying on the floor in anger, crying, and rolling around. And he was just, his emotions were totally out of control. And his friends didn't know what to do with him. He wanted things, the game to be played a certain way. And his friends chose it to have a different way. And so I went up to this young man and I asked him, I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And he said, he told me the story. And I said, how's this going to help? Is laying here crying about it going to make it better? And he's like, well, no, probably not. And so I suggested, he's like, well, maybe you should go play with your friends. And so with a little bit of encouragement, he was able to do that. And he obviously at that time, in that instant, he was struggling to surrender and to submit his plan for his friends. And so I believe it's, in many ways, it's very important for us to teach these things to our children. And these things, teaching these things to our children will prepare them for life. We're preparing them for a relationship with the Lord. We're preparing them to work with their brothers in school, their friends in school, in church. When we're used to working and working together and able to let go of my ideas for others, for the Lord. And really, when we stop and think about it, and we think about this church here, you as families, we think about that is very important, that we can lay down my ideas and support others. And it means that when I do that, I'm willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to trust God. And I have a desire to work together. So when we think about family, just some closing thoughts here, is for a family function to work, it means that we choose our family. We choose, it's about commitment. It's about love and unity and respect. And we understand, I believe, that this is God's heart for our homes, for our family. So I just want to encourage you in that. And as I was just pondering the things that I shared on here the last two times that we were together, just like to share some of our experiences in our home and in marriage. In when we got married, marriage was beautiful, and marriage is beautiful. But we also had to work through some difficulties. We had to figure out how to relate together. And there was times, looking back, that I wasn't a very good husband. And I said things that I shouldn't have said. And pride kept me from doing the right thing. And we worked through those things. I took Daniel's approach. I knew what God wanted. And I wasn't willing to settle for less. Later on in life, after I was ordained, we walked through a time, and I didn't realize right away what was going on. But we kept running into difficulty. And it dawned on me that it was often before, like a Saturday, before I was supposed to be preaching, or before I had some kind of responsibilities. And I realized that, you know what? Satan is attacking us, our home. And I was like, where's these things coming from? And so I just encourage you, be aware. Things are going along smoothly, and all of a sudden you have this little disagreement, and it brings strife. And the next day you have spiritual responsibilities and you're supposed to preach, or you have this or whatever it is. Satan wants to make us ineffective. And he often does it by bringing things into our homes. When we do our homework in our homes and we make things right, and we recognize the things that are going on, and we deal with them, and we purpose in our hearts that I don't want to be two different people. I don't want to be one that's angry one day and then pretend the next day that everything is okay. When we deal with those things, God will bless us. He will give us strength. And he will give us the peace that we can't get from any other place. Let's stand and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you here this morning for the blessings that we have. We thank you for the homes that you represent here, Lord, and I just pray that you would continue to teach us. I pray especially for fathers and mothers here this morning, that as they, that you would give them a vision for their children, and that they, you would give them the strength to teach and train their children in a way, Lord, that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, teach us about love and respect for each other, for our children. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as we go from here, that you would just keep your hand of protection over us. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.